Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Rum and Regret podcast. I am Andy Drake.
Johanna Myers.
Nate Tussie, and we drink and we know things.
We drink and we know things, and today we are talking about Bird Box. I didn't see any trailers for this, and this just sort of came out of nowhere for me. I started seeing all the memes online. Sandra Bullock and the blindfold and everything. And so I don't know that there was any promotion for this. Did you guys see any?
I saw a trailer. Both Ken and I saw, cause he listens to the Dog and Joe show. And
okay.
They talked about it. And so we watched the trailer and were immediately just like, oh, we got to watch this. This looks intense.
Yeah. Yeah. Nate, did you see anything?
I didn't actually. I'm trying to remember if maybe you mentioned it or in our last podcast, somebody told me to watch it. And so it took me a few days and then I did.
Okay.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we should just sort of rate it or we can rate it. We should rate it at the end, shouldn't we?
We've done it the other way before. So let's open up with the ratings. I mean, that's how we've done our other podcast.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Joe, what did you think?
I'm gonna give it a 7.
Okay. All right. Nate?
We're just going around?
Do a round table.
Cheers. It's a solid 8 for me. Maybe a little bit higher even. I think, not to, as a parent, it added more to the movie for me having raised a person, or in the process of raising a person.
Right.
Because it's obviously a huge part of the movie. Spoiler alert. Yeah, we're going to spoil the shit out of this. Yeah, so it's at least an 8 for me. It could have been higher, but I'll talk about that later.
Okay. All right. I agree with Nate. I think it's an 8. Huh? I rhymed. Sorry. Taking a lap. I'm taking a lap. No, I like I said, the fact that I didn't really see any sort of promotion or trailer on this and then just saw the memes and then just sort of walked into it saying, okay, well, what's this all about? And then really getting sucked in. And yeah, Nate, just from the parent perspective alone, it, you know, makes you, really evaluate sort of how you parent and what you would do in that situation. Just gets you thinking, which is amazing, which is what good movies are supposed to do.
Right. Yeah. When I was watching some of the things online to kind of refresh for this, there was, I'm trying to think, it wasn't a meme. I think it was an article I was reading where they really said that this movie is like, it basically gives you the feeling of what it's like to parent. You really have no idea what's going on. You're blindfolded. You're kind of trying to work your way through it. And then eventually things get a little bit better and that kind of thing. So I'll find that before, so I can go into it a little bit better, but it was interesting that the way they drew the parallel between, you know, obviously blindfolded all the time, not really knowing what to do, working your way through it. And it was a good, allegory is the right word. Good allegory.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And, sort of in this, another thing that this movie does, and it was a conscious effort, obviously, was you just don't know what the bad thing is. You know, you never see it. You just get, you get an idea when it's close. I guess that's sort of the Cloverfield way of doing things and telling the stories. It's just amazing. I just thought from that perspective alone, it was very, very good in that, you could easily show what's doing it and what's making it happen, but you don't, and that just adds way more power to just what's going on around everybody. But I just want to call out how the movie starts, and it starts in sort of a similar way to one of my favorite Doctor Who episodes, the Don't Blink episode, where you're getting a monologue from Sandra Bullock, basically saying this is where we're going, this is what we're doing, you know, mm-hmm. don't take your blindfold off, you know, the Don't Blink speech from David Tennant.
Yeah.
So if that doesn't suck you into this movie, you know, and you want to stay and watch the rest of it, it's just amazing from that point on. So like I said, that's what really got me sucked into the movie and the story and everything from that point was that very, very opening speech and that little opening sort of back and forth with with Sandra Bullock and her kids.
And real quick, since you brought it up, I gotta interject a little bit because we were supposed to have a guest on here, our friend Mousy, who she wasn't able to come because her kid's unfortunately sick.
The girl.
Girl! Girl, you're sick. But she did give me some talking points, and one of them is the fact that, like, Sandra Bullock, America's sweetheart, turned into Gemma Teller the first 5 minutes of the movie, where she's telling the kids, if they talk, she will hurt them. And at the end of the movie, it shows her again, you know, telling her partner, like, everything I do is for these kids. Every decision I make is for these kids. And that was one of her big takeaways from the movie.
Well, and that was, and again, this, that was one of sort of the real fresh takes on the beginning of this movie is, she, you know, Sandra Bullock's pregnant. She's having so at first you see her with the kids, but then we get the flashback. We get the 5-year flashback of her pregnant with her sister. And, you know, she doesn't want the kid. It doesn't feel like she wants the kid.
Yeah, she's concerned that she won't have a connection. And that's what that big painting that she's putting together that looks kind of like The Last Supper. It's all these people in a black background that are in the same area, but not touching each other. So that was one of the things that she was talking about. You know, I'm afraid I'm not going to have a connection with my own child. And she breaks down. And
the whole, you know, my condition.
Yeah.
It's like, you can call it pregnancy.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Right. I mean, but, you know, in, you know, media and TV and movies, you usually get the loving parent, the overly loving parent, the overly concerned parent, or the completely deadbeat parent who's just out. Then you don't get the sort of wishy-washy parent.
Yeah. You know,
the
disconnect of, I mean, it's, you know, it's not a, you never get the much of the backstory of how the pregnancy happened. It's just, obviously, the donor is not there anymore.
I think we all know how it happened.
But, you know, the whole, like, here's where dad is. It's like, dad just isn't here.
Yeah. So, I'm waiting for the, not to make this political, but I'm waiting for the pro-life movement to grab this movie and go, see?
Right, yeah. I was kind of waiting for Qui-Gon to show up and say that the midichlorians fathered the child. But.
Oh, God. Hey, did you hear, sorry, quick tangent. Did you hear they actually canonized where Anakin came from?
No, I didn't hear this.
It was Palpatine manipulating the Force and creating Anakin.
That's bullshit. I'm sorry, that sucks.
Well, no, the whole thing is stupid. But yeah, what? That's just what I meant,
so. That totally blows a hole in my Schmeezus theory.
Well, exactly.
Your Schmeezus theory.
Bringing it back to the first, I think that's in the first episode. Yeah. Well done, Joe.
That's a callback all right. All week.
Through you got time. February 4th, 2018. Joseph. You have been doing your homework. Good job.
Jesus.
We broke Andy. I think this happened the last year, too. I'm pretty sure this happened the last time.
Oh, Jesus.
That's good.
I can't continue.
Hashtag Jesus. Hashtag me too.
Oh, man. Oh, talk amongst yourselves.
No. Yeah, right. So while Andy's recovering here, something I wanted to call out is the cast of this movie is pretty stacked with great actors, but
Malkovich!
Malkovich. Yeah,
specifically Malkovich, and he didn't put the bunny back in the box. He was great in this movie, as you would expect, but holy shit, Sandra Bullock acted her ass off in this thing, and I was super impressed. I don't think I've seen, I mean, she's done a lot of great movies, a lot of big, high-profile movies where she's obviously a great actress. She's done some stuff where she doesn't act at all, but that was, you know, kind of earlier in her career. But man, she blew me away with her performance in this, and I'd be shocked if she doesn't get nominated for something.
Yeah, she's got to get something. I mean, she was amazing. Malkovich, completely amazing. And I'll talk about Malkovich in a bit.
Yeah. So was the guy that played Tom, Trevante Rhodes. He was
good too.
I loved his character.
Yeah. Yeah, really good. I am. Great cameo from Sarah Paulson too.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Our resident queen of American Horror Story. But yeah, I love seeing her pop up. You know, other than American Horror Story, and she always just kills it.
Yeah, she delivered for sure. I kind of wish she had made it farther along in the movie. I mean, I get why they had to do what they did, but I wish she had gone for a little bit longer.
Yeah, and this is funny, and you're going to laugh when I equate this and where I'm going to equate sort of her part to, but and this is like, I'm reaching here too, but this is sort of one of my favorite action movies. But so there's a movie called Executive Decision with Kurt Russell and Steven Seagal, right? Steven Seagal is like heavily favored in the trailers for this movie. But everybody, and John Leguizamo's in it, you know, and a couple other recognizable actors, but they kill off. And so this was at the height of Steven Seagal's sort of action movie career, right?
Which movie is this again? Sorry, I missed that.
It's called Executive Decision.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. I love it.
Right, yeah. And so one of the things they do is they, you know, they kill off Seagal within the first 20 minutes of the movie.
Ah, spoilers.
Well, yeah, but I mean, come on, this is a late 90s movie. And then you're left with all of these non-traditional action stars. And this was before sort of, I mean, Kurt Russell got back into being an action star. You give weight to the movie and you really create tension by killing off a big name actor, in the first few minutes of the movie, because you know usually the people around the main character are somewhat protected. You know, it depends, and you're going to lose a few here and there, you know, just to create, but again, you expect, just because you recognize the face, that they'll get late into the movie.
And the homeowner from Bird Box is in Executive Decision.
Oh, that's right.
B.D. Wong with Sergeant Louie.
That's right. Yeah, B.D. Wong. Yeah. But it was great to see, but they were all playing Navy SEALs, but they were all sort of non-traditional, you know, sort of badass action star actors. And so you're sort of left with this crew of, you know, can these guys really, really do it? Anyway, all I'm saying is that I think that's a good movie decision. You know, is you get, you know, sort of this, you know, a big name actress. And I don't know if we can call Sarah Paulson a big name, can't we?
I think so.
Yeah, since I'm going to append my list and add her to it. Wow.
Yeah. and
you watch American Horror Story.
Apparently she's in Glass also, which opens this Friday.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right. Yeah, she plays like a therapist.
She is the main, the therapist. Right?
Yeah. So, like I said, it's a great decision by the movies to make that decision and kill off a big name actress, right? Because you get the true peril of sort of what's going on.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Nobody's safe, you know.
Yeah.
Ned Stark dying in the first season. I mean,
right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, we've collectively seen a bunch of zombie movies, and not that this is a zombie movie, but this is sort of an infection type movie, and there's
apocalypse movie.
Yeah, apocalypse, right.
What are you going to do when shit hits the fan?
Doomsday status, yeah, exactly.
Right, but the ground zero moment, when things really start to go wrong, And again, they're walking in the clinic in the hospital, and they see the blonde girl on the phone looking out the window, and you know, everything's great. And then, yeah. And then Sandra Bullock's walking back, and then that's when she's busting her head against the window and going nuts. You know, the ground zero moment in this movie, I just thought was fantastic.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, just you know, from what happened and you know, like you don't know what's going on and you know, where are they going? How do you get away from something you can't see or know what's going on? And then yeah, I just thought that was just an amazing sequence to get the ball rolling in this movie.
Yeah, I totally agree. And let me back up real quick, because I talked about how I wanted Paulson to be in the movie a little bit longer, and I also want to call out Lil Rel for his character. I didn't want him dying in the supermarket, because he provided some good comic relief. He's the guy that did the exposition about what these things could be. You know, he's writing a book.
Yeah.
I wanted to see more about his character a little bit, but he did a great job in his role also. But then back to your point, that's one of the pieces, the whole, this is how it falls apart, is something that's missing from a lot of those movies. You know, it's either, you know, 5 years later, 10 years later, they never flash back to whatever's actually happening.
Yeah,
and I think I was watching a YouTube video on this. I don't remember who it was, otherwise I'd give them credit for it. But they basically said, I don't think it was as crazy fucking nuts as it should have been. Because there's a bigger mob at Black Friday,
you know,
TV, than there is trying to get away from whatever's happening. And things are blowing up, and they did a good job with it. The one thing that, so if you watch this movie, or if you watch a lot of reviews or read a lot of stuff after the fact, you catch a lot of things that you missed. So one of the things I really missed was about all of the mayhem and carnage that's happening, you know, as things are unfolding. They don't really have to deal with that ever. So the one time they kind of do is when they're trying to go to the supermarket in the Jeep Grand Cherokee, respect to my sled. parking sensors don't work that way when you're driving, but that's cool. When they're going through there trying to, you know, weave their way back and forth, there's no way they're fucking making it to the supermarket. I'm sorry. There were cars everywhere, people everywhere, all kinds of extra shit everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are a million jokes that came up in my head when they're doing the blind GPS driving, like turn right here. That's never accurate. Because when you're using GPS or Google Maps or whatever, oh really? Right here, right in the middle of the school. Is that where I'm supposed to turn?
Right. So, yeah.
That was one of the things that I kind of just, you know, me being an asshole, was immediately just like, okay, this is a little much. But
on that same front, my two main talking points on this movie, I'm just going to out with it. One is the river scene. I take issue just because I, and Andy, we've been rafting enough to know what's real and what's hiccupucky. And
wait, what?
2/3 of that is hiccupucky. Like,
what's the country of origin? Can you use it in a sentence?
I'm going to assume, because I think this takes place in Sacramento, because they reference Sacramento and American River or Russian River. I'm guessing it's the American River, and you're not making it down the American River blindfolded with two kids. I'm sorry.
Did they say it was in Sacramento? I thought they said he was from Sacramento. She was from Bakersfield or something.
Yeah,
like that,
it's
right? Stockton.
I got the impression from what he said that they were in Sacramento.
Hmm. Interesting.
So on that point, I mean, yes, they get to where they're going, but you know, the second the rapid scene hits, you know, you know that they're
they're swimming it.
Fubar.
But yeah, you're blindfolded. You're not going to get both kids back.
Well, like, they don't have flotation devices or anything.
Yeah, and
how do the birds survive? The box doesn't even disintegrate.
It's there's stuff no, like that. That's why nothing. I gave it a 7. I'm like,
there's nothing holding the box closed. There's no way those birds survive.
There's so many little things like that. And in the beginning, like, So the sister sees the thing and she doesn't. They're both sitting in the car looking straight ahead at the same thing.
Maybe.
Well,
she looks down. She looks down or looks at her phone, looks somewhere else, and then looks back up, and her sister's freaking out.
Yeah.
That's the way that went down. But
yeah,
that's a good point.
But yeah, the river I had an issue with. But the other talking point for me is I am 110% John Malkovich on this.
Yeah.
When the apocalypse happens, I'm caring for my herd and not opening the fucking door. Mm-hmm. Don't come knocking on my door. Nope. You're not
Everything he said was true. Everything happened the way he said it was. Like, nope, don't let that person in. Don't let the pregnant lady in because she lets the guy in later.
That's when you let people in, that's when shit goes south. Exactly. Don't let people in.
Well, wait, do we count? What, I mean, if you know us, are we able to come in? Because what the fuck? Wow, Jobin, you're taking too long.
I don't know, because,
I mean, I'm a big guy.
We've all done the apocalypse scenario in our heads, and
we're going to Jess's house. Is what's happening.
We're going to Jess's house, and if you're not there by Odark 30, then you're screwed.
Yeah.
And I loved the whole scene with her and him with the drink, and just when he's talking about like there's assholes and dead people. It's like that's what. It is. It's like you have to have that thick skin asshole mentality to survive something like that. And she gets that at the end.
Well, and he was the biggest thing he was right about is that they should have stayed at the fucking supermarket.
Yes!
Right. Yeah.
I'm sorry you don't have a bed.
Yeah.
They hadn't given birth yet, though, and there was babies on the way.
But still, you go to where all the supplies are. Like, if anything goes down, guys, seriously, Costco. We're all meeting at Costco, right. And we're getting there, and we're locking the doors.
Actually, we're going to meet at Walmart, because it's closer. And oh, man. Yeah, so one of my favorite quotes from Malkovich is when he's drinking in the supermarket, and he even pauses for effect, and has this great look on his face. He's like, we're making the apocalypse great again. He's so pleased with himself. Like, that's me. Mm-hmm. That would totally be me in that situation.
Oh yeah,
the minute I get down to the line that he says. That's amazing.
I agree. Malkovich just he slays it. He really does. I just haven't seen him in a movie in a while. And it was, I mean, seeing him, you know, just do play this kind of role. And, because this, this role is always in these types of movies, but it doesn't always get played as well as it should be.
Ex military guy or just some random dickhead or whatever. But he plays the shit out of those.
Right. Yeah. You end up hating, the guy in this role just because they're so against the protagonist of this movie. You don't hate Malkovich in this role.
No.
At all. Like, you're just like, no, this is the voice, this is the drunk voice of reason through this whole movie. He's spouting truth. He's sprouting the hard truth through this whole movie. And you're right, if they had just listened,
And just the fact that he owns it too, like, and that's in the scene with Sandra Bullock, where he's just like, "Hey, I get it. I'm the asshole. Yeah. I totally get it." And that's the way it is. And I hope you're right. And she's like, I hope you're right. And I hope you're wrong. They have their little come to Jesus moment.
And kind of speaking to what you were saying, Andy, I haven't seen him in anything in a long time. And just looking at his IMDb. He was actually pretty prolific in 2018. He was on that show Billions. He did a couple different movies. Mile 22, I guess, was probably the most highly advertised one. That was with Mark Wahlberg. Then he did something called Supercon. And then he was also in the ABC Murders miniseries. He played Poirot. For a couple episodes. And then the year before that, he did 5 movies also. So...
Oh, wow. That's all stuff that I just missed.
Yeah. Well, no, and they're not super big productions either. So it's like the Wild Wedding, I Love You, comma, Daddy, Bullethead, like things that does, they're probably like direct to whatever type movie, is not something that isn't, you know, in major motion picture in the theaters. But it looks like in 2016, he did Deepwater Horizon, which was a pretty big movie. He was also in Zoolander 2, apparently.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I never saw that. But you're right. I haven't seen him in anything in a long time. I just missed him last year, it looks like, because I love Billions. That's normally something I would have watched. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and one of the things also I really actually dug about Bird Box, the safety net at the end made sense. Like, it wasn't just, you know, all this, like, these random people are just all, like, lucky, and, you know, it was like, no, they're all blind. Of course it makes sense that they're safe. Like,
yeah.
Did you guys read the book?
No, but I know that the book ending is different than what happened in the movie.
Well, so from what I understand, the book ending's different, but also so it's still the school for the blind, but everybody there gouged their eyes out so they couldn't see anything.
Yeah, they went full Sam Neill, Event Horizon.
Right.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? I love, I did, like I said, when they got to the school for the blind and she walked out into the courtyard and the birds are chirping and the sun's shining through, I thought, okay, a little, you know, I like at that point, I was just like, well, you know, it's a happy ending. Okay. But then, you know, when she named the kids finally, that's what got me.
I was hoping she named the boy Donald.
Right. Yeah. I thought it was a little hokey and I hope he was just busy but I'm a big fan of Pruitt Taylor Vince, the guy who played Rick, the leader of the school. I think he's done some really great just acting spots here and there, and so like it was great to see him, but I was bummed he just didn't have a bigger role.
Right. Yeah, pop culture really kind of seeped into the back of my head watching this. Every time, I don't know if you've actually had a chance to play it yet, Andy, but God of War, every time she says boy, I'm hearing it in Kratos' voice, boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, oh shit, I had another one and I lost it. But School for the Blind, shit, I lost it. I'll come back to it. But okay. Yeah, a bunch of moments where things kind of crossed over in the back of my head going, oh yeah, okay, I know that person from there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
yeah,
continue.
Yeah, so but no, like I said, like, yeah, first, like, I again, when the ending first started, that, like, oh, School for the Blind, of course, you know, they're not affected, but yeah, just like the sunshine and the butterflies just for a little bit threw me off. Like, and I was ready to say, ah, this, you know, terrible, but no, it certainly came around with her naming the kids and you know, finally sort of smiling for the first time. And, you know, yeah, you get to see her eyes with the rest of her face, look at her kids, and not in a panic and not finally a state of relief. And it was just, yeah, it was a very, very powerful, very, very good ending.
Yeah. Can you imagine that, just that load off your shoulders? I wouldn't be that relaxed for a long time. Like, there's got to be somebody fucked up here. There's got to be some way they can get in. There's got to be some, after being like at that super state of adrenaline for so long, you have PTSD from that event. Seriously. Yeah. That's the only plausible explanation, you know, just the way human physiology works.
I love that they made her so just cut off, like, mm-hmm. This is how it is, this is what you need to survive, I'm not even going to give you names, it's boy, girl, you know.
You only have room for functionality.
Yeah, because I don't have a child, so very, I don't have
it
the,
was very utilitarian, the way she
the motherly instinct yet, but all these shows, like, so a friend of mine and I, we have the term Little Liability. And it started with Judith in The Walking Dead.
Oh, that was my other connection.
Which, children are a liability in Walking Dead. Yes, A Quiet Place. Yes, this. It's like, little fucking liabilities that will get you killed. Yeah,
that was my other connection. So when Annie was saying that the guy's name was Rick, as soon as they turned and said, "Get Rick," I went, "Is this a Walking Dead spinoff? What's happening?" Merging with Fear and the Walking Dead. What's happening? Yeah, that, good times.
Yeah. Yeah, one scene I just wanted to call to, and I didn't, unfortunately, it's just coming back to me now, but the rapid scene where, so Rick initially, you hear him as he breaks up saying one person's going to need to look down the rapids in order for you guys to get here. And so the one scene where they pull the blanket over their heads just as they're about to go in the rapids, and Sandra Bullock's waiting for the little girl.
God, that was the worst.
Because like, you know she wants her to do it because it's not her kid.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Little lips going and everything. Yeah. Like, that, those kids, holy shit. Like, they must have been scared of their minds. But they,
Yeah, if this, I mean, if this doesn't mess up at least one of those kids for a little while, it's just going to be... I fully expect one of those kids to have some sort of drug problem or something through this.
Okay, so the point that got me where it warmed my heart and I was like, okay, they're not little liabilities. When the boy is just like, she's scared of you, and like Sandra Bullock does the whole monologue of like, I'm so sorry, and, you know, and here's how the story with Tom ends, and you know, there was all the kids at top of the tree, and just come back to me. And like, my lip was quivering a little bit. I was like, oh God.
Yeah.
ugly cry. Or
okay, no. Close to ugly cry. Like, don't get me wrong. There's still little liabilities and kids in the apocalypse have no place in the apocalypse. But yeah, that was a little heartwarming.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I would not have been so quick to send the kids off to play. Like, I would have been, you know, no more than 5 feet away.
But what if you saw your gynecologist there?
yeah, really. Right, yeah, that's...
Well, no, because she meets her gynecologist at the end.
Like, I know, yeah. That was another weird sort of thing at the end because, you know...
That was her doctor, though, wasn't it?
Well, no, it was the OB. Yeah.
OB, yeah. Or, okay, I'm sorry, not gynecologist, obstetrician.
Okay. Whatever. Whatever.
Her still lady doctor, yeah, exactly. All right?
No, absolutely, yeah. So, I thought that was a weird, you know, a weird, but you had to, that was one of the things that made her feel, you know, safe, that this was a safe place.
Yeah.
I get having her there, but you know, hey, then she, you know, she must raff on the weekends.
So I actually heard something about this. So apparently Sandra Bullock had never rowed anything, and they actually shot all of the scenes where she's rowing in order of the movie, so she actually gets better towards the end of the movie, and they did that on purpose.
That's a smart decision.
Kind of brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you could tell, especially.
Oh, yeah. I still like half the movie. I'm like, she would have been off to the side of the river in a bush.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Or like there's one scene where I think it's right when a boy falls out of the boat. And I'm like, okay, one, you're not getting him back in the boat blindfolded. Two, then you're going to get into this perfect little beach that's boat width apart, mm-hmm. where you don't know, like, it's just too much, like, and I get why they did it, because there would be no movie if she's, here's 2 hours of Sandra Bullock blindfolded with a boat in a bush with a dead kid. That's the reality, but, you know, yeah. Stuff like that, I was just like, this is taking me out of this movie.
Well, but you know, I do like that once the rapids hit, you know, the boat goes over.
Yeah, that like, thank God for that.
Yeah, and then
turned around really said something to me too, because if you're not controlling it, that's the first thing that's going to happen. You get turned around.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, both kids, you wouldn't have found both kids.
Yeah, and the fact that one of them found a rock and the other one found a beach, like. Mm-hmm. You're going to be going like miles down river before you find either
dead
one.
Child. That's what's going to happen. Right. It's morbid, but for anybody that's actually been on rapids, and those weren't even close to like scary rapids.
No, those.
There's a couple little.
Actually, no.
There was a little class three happening, maybe, but nothing much more than that.
Yeah.
Like most of the river was easy peasy, but that last one at the end, I think that was definitely a three, possibly a four, because it looked pretty vertical.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
and just so many rocks and just.
Yeah, there's no way you get through that without looking.
Yeah.
For sure. Right. Yeah.
Which, and again, it's, you know, if you've never been on a river, you don't care.
Right.
But
right.
That was my thing. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
It's just not right.
Even with the knowledge, it was sufficiently tense, I think, though.
No, it was. Yeah, good job. And I'm very glad they actually did take a spill and swim down that last bit.
Yeah, it also speaks to the fact that you've never seen the monster even more. I mean, the fact that they have to keep the blindfolds on, they don't see it, so you don't get to see it. I think I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a very, very smart decision.
Yeah. Did you see all the after stuff that came out? The links that I shared about the production of it, where they actually had a monster, they did all the makeup, they shot all these scenes. There was supposed to be a nightmare scene in the house
where
you would see the monster, but it ended up looking like a baby cross with a snake kind of thing, and Sandra Bullock apparently laughed at it when they revealed it to her on set, and so they decided to pull it from the movie.
Oh wow.
It looked like it looked like the yellow guy from Sin City.
Yeah, kind of. Right.
I'm glad they didn't do that.
Right, yeah. And so it would have been weird to see one of those guys, you know, sort of on screen. The movie would have lost something.
No, Nate just showed me a picture.
I just showed you a picture. She's like,
yeah.
No, that definitely made it more tense not seeing.
Just seeing,
like, the leaves spinning every once in a while and just, like, the sound effects.
Yeah, that was way more powerful than seeing what was actually there.
Yeah, and that monster looks like a zombie from 28 Days Later or something like that.
And the other creepy thing that, like, I actually really loved is B.D. Wong's death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the when he's looking through the monitors.
Oh, my God.
That was a brilliant idea. Hey, we're surrounded by security cameras. And first of all, the grid's still going, which is okay. But
there was a thing online about that of, like, who's running the power now?
Right, exactly.
When his eyes went, I'm like, yes.
That's another decision I like, too, is the half-infected people.
Yeah.
You know, they're not full infected, so... I watched this on Amazon Prime the other, like last week or something, but a really very bad 80s movie called Night of the Comet. You guys remember this? Where
sounds familiar.
All right, so it's a girl and her sister. Earth passes through the tail of a comet, and people who look at it directly turn to red dust, but then people who are sort of protected turn into these sort of like zombie-like, weird. They still they have some of their faculties, but they're like decaying quickly. And then other people who were sheltered, you know, were okay. But basically, you're either dying a very, very slow death. You know, you're not sort of dying at all, or what. But anyway, it's a total guilty pleasure, and it had the effect of the half infected.
Yeah,
you know. People that you don't know are infected until you see their eyes. And that was the same thing in Night of the Comet, where they had sort of these sunken eyes. I love that part of it. I thought that was great.
I love the drawings as like kind of you kind of get to see the monster through his drawings.
Hollander as Gary. What an asshole. Fuck that.
Oh,
Gary.
Yeah.
Fuck Gary.
I knew there was something wrong with him.
Oh, for sure.
The minute he walked in, I was like, I was John Malkovich. I'm like, no. Yeah,
fuck that guy. But as soon as he's going upstairs, oh, can I see your baby? Like, oh great. God.
Fantastic.
And then he knocks out the dude downstairs and then goes back up and starts pulling the blinds off and everything. We're like, oh my God.
Because he had the same vibe as the guy in the freezer of, Please help.
For sure.
Like Olympia.
Fish fingers.
Yeah. So Olympia, you get. Like, she's just a gentle soul who needs help. Those two were like, we're effed up, and you kind of get that feeling, the hairs on the back of your neck of this shit ain't right. Don't let him in. Don't let him in.
Yeah.
I liked the fact they had Machine Gun Kelly and the other lady that played Lucy were fucking on the dryer, like, in one scene.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to do my laundry another time.
Yeah, and then they take off in the car, like, you fucking assholes, of course.
If shit goes south, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't leave all those people there. It's the only way you can get supplies back and forth to the house.
Well, not if you take the car and go to live in the Costco.
But everybody else, though. They were doing okay. They had figured out a way to get to the store and back, and they could have been Skippy for a little bit there, at least, just to figure things out. Then those fucking...
But that's, it's a horror movie cliche, though. There is the young couple that's always caught banging somewhere that always decides they have a better plan than someone else, and they're going to, fuck everyone and take off.
Yeah, that's true. Did you, complete tangent, not related to young people fucking and fucking people over. So the couple that was in the house beginning that called their daughter or whatever and then left, like, oh, my kids are out there. You're never going to survive out there. And then they took off. Those are the people they run over on the way to the store. So there's a shot when they're going over the speed bumps or whatever, but then there's an exterior of the Jeep with a body laid on its side and the tires approaching the head.
Oh, right.
Those are the people that were in the house.
Oh, no way.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
They did a whole screen cap where they matched the clothing and did the back and forth. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
They tied them back together.
See? Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I don't know if we want to say this to the end, but do you guys have any theories about what the monsters were or where they came from? Because I've heard a lot of cool stuff on the internet.
I haven't seen or read anything on it, and I don't have any theory. So
okay. I haven't either.
So I'm gonna throw this out there. The one that I like the best, and also the one that seems to be getting the most traction, is that it's Cthulhu. Because apparently in the mythology, if you gaze upon Cthulhu, you go insane and kill yourself.
Okay.
That's straight out of Lovecraft, man. I heard that and I went, that's awesome. And then they are doing this whole, so obviously I went a deep YouTube dive for this podcast, but
yeah,
they're looking at all the spread out pictures from, art collection or whatever, from his sketching while the world's falling to shit. And one of them is like this figure where most of the face is covered except for the eyes, but all these tentacles in the front of it.
I saw that.
Oh, man. So let's bring up my D&D nerd. I'm like, ooh, it's an Illithid. It's a fucking mind flayer. Nope, too many tentacles. Couldn't be. And I went super nerd and went, no, they're...
Actually, the mind flayers only have four tentacles. That creature clearly has six.
but I really like the way they pulled that together. We're like, yeah, man, it's fucking Cthulhu. And apparently there were some questions asked of the director or the writer, I guess. And he basically said, oh, I don't really know.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Give me some backstory
or
something.
You are Charlie.
I don't get the reference. Sorry.
The writing the book about, like.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's an old demon in Celtic.
Celtic lore. And then this, then the other from China.
China's called this. Yeah.
No, that was just me doing some surface level research, but nice. Yeah, we should, if we can, Andy, we should play that clip.
Okay.
His exposition of what it could be. That it's a really cool piece that Laurel does. I don't know if we're allowed to, actually.
Oh, and speaking of, you guys, I mean, if you're so inclined, Little Rel's actually doing some stand up at Tommy T's February 8th and 9th in Pleasant.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So, check my calendar.
Yeah.
Field trip.
I have Addy that weekend, so negative.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. Yeah.
I mean, I have girl. That so negative.
So in terms of horror movies, where do you think this one ranks in terms of sort of like movies?
Well, I didn't. Sorry, Joe. Jumping real quick. I didn't see Quiet Place yet, which is on my list. I want to see it. I've heard I've talked to a lot of people that have seen both. They actually like The Quiet Place a little bit better. I think it's more because it's more of a Hollywood movie. It's more higher production value, more money spent, that kind of thing. So I haven't seen that yet. But for me, it lives in that kind of, not really a horror movie, more of a kind of a horror adjacent kind of thriller.
Like a suspense thriller.
Yeah, kind of apocalypse type thriller. You know, it's, you don't get to see the monster. There's nothing you can do against it at all. I mean,
it's not gore or it's unsettling, but not like overly scary.
I'm trying to think of something in the past that I've seen that kind of is similar to that. I don't know. Yeah, I'll have to think about that.
Yeah, I like this better than Quiet Place.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
No spoilers on that one. I haven't seen that yet.
No, I won't. It's like I said, I don't, you know, there is, so as Joe talked to, there's, you suspend a little disbelief for some of the scenes in this movie, obviously, like we do in most Hollywood movies, right? Yeah. Quiet Place, you suspend a little more disbelief. I think, just because of the main part of it. But that was me. That's just me.
Yeah.
So,
I think I get what you're saying, Andy. And
yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, you know, and so Nate, I'm going to spoil one aspect of it, but it's not. You learn it in the first part of the movie. There's childbirth in both of these movies.
Okay, I said no spoilers.
Well, I already spoiled it because I was talking about little liabilities, blah, children. Blah, blah,
blah, blah. But you learn about it in the very first scene of the movie. Yeah,
it's not a huge spoiler.
Gotcha.
and you know it, and the movie's going to span more than 9 months.
I do. Thanks. Yeah.
3 weeks later.
Oh, wait, it dies. Like,
oh my God! I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah, only one of them does. No, it's all right.
God.
Oh, and the dog doesn't make it either.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. anyway, like I said, there's more suspension of disbelief in A Quiet Place for me. So,
yeah.
That's
like, what constitutes horror? Is this?
Well, it's a I'm going to freak the fuck out moment. Oh, excuse me. Freaking the fuck out kind of situation. So that's horror. I mean, it's a psychological thriller. Horror, maybe.
That's what I would consider it as, a psychological thriller.
Well,
yeah.
It's not all in your head. So it does bridge the genre, like you're saying, Andy. I just can't think of another movie. I haven't seen Quiet Place, obviously. It's the same exact same movie almost, right? Well, similar tone, similar themes, right? Other than that, I can't really think of something. There's a movie, so Netflix is making suggestions like, if you like this, you might like Mowgli. I'm like, no. There's a movie on there called This Is How It Ends with Forrest Whitaker.
Oh, I got that same suggestion. Yeah.
Yeah, so I haven't seen it yet, but it's another kind of doomsday, end of the world situation where he's traveling with his daughter's boyfriend or husband or something like that to try and get to her. I haven't seen it. I really want to watch it because I love Forrest Whitaker. So
yeah, oh yeah.
But off the top of my head, I can't think of something else that has the same components. I mean, yeah, it feels very Stephen King to me, honestly.
Like, yeah, a
Stephen King novel.
Right. Yeah. Well, he did write a similar novel, but I mean something close to it in Cell, where. So they sort of poke at this in Forgetting Sarah Marshall,
mm-hmm.
but your cell phones turn you into a sort of a zombie sort of weirdo.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that the one with Jennifer Lopez? Because that's what I'm thinking.
No. That's different. No.
Okay.
So cell like cell phone, you know.
When J-Lo goes on vacation, nobody knows what's going to happen. But when a cell phone turns into a zombie, hilarity ensues.
You're right.
Summer.
that's good. So, final thoughts. What do you think?
Did Mouse have anything else to contribute to this one, or no? Do you know?
No, just that Sandra Bullock turned into a badass, yeah, which I wholeheartedly agree. Like, she knocked it out of the park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Final thoughts. So I came on it the same way as you did, Andy, kind of blindly, pardon the pun. And I thought it was great. I would love to see more things like this. I know it didn't, from all accounts, it's not as brutal as the book was, but I might have to check out the book because that sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it, and holy hell, Sandra Bullock. John Malkovich, as always, but Sandra Bullock really impressed me with this.
Yeah. No, this was like, yeah, well cast, definitely well acted.
Yeah.
I mean, the story, you know, the story is so strong on its own, but then you get these sort of these heavyweights, these Hollywood heavyweights in there to really sort of bring it home. And yep. it worked on pretty much every level.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the personal plot holes aside.
Right. Yeah.
I fully enjoyed it.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like with
a couple times where I was like cringing and just like, oh, that's not me.
Yeah, disbelief. Yeah, with those certain plot holes, you know, if you're willing to sort of give them up and for the other aspects of the story, you know,
yeah, I understand why they did it, and for the story, it makes sense.
Yeah,
so I'm willing to go with it, but that's kind of why I was like, 7.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, Cthulhu-style demons that make you kill yourself at the end of the world is plausible, but there's no way she's making it down those fucking rapids. Suspend your disbelief, Jobin. No, I'm right there with you, though. I was criticizing it, too.
So, one is completely outlandish. Two, it's like, come on.
I know, it's a false comparison.
But then again, like I said, if it was realistic, we'd spend 2 hours watching Sandra Bullock in a bush in a little raft and being stuck and
it
would be a completely pointless movie.
Okay, that's where I had to spend my disbelief, because there would be way more swearing in that situation.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I think Joe had something she wanted to mention before we close out, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So one of our dear friends, friend of the show, Mandy, has a Twitch stream that she just became a Twitch affiliate. So
nice.
Yay.
Check her
Congrats,
out.
Congrats, Mandy.
It's Mana Smart, ManaSmart at Twitch. And she plays mostly like Guild Wars, Portal, Diablo 3.
Nice.
But Gamer Babe, so go check her out.
Very
yeah,
cool.
So twitch.tv/ManaSmart. We'll put a link in the in the description of this one.
Give her all the love, all the subscribes, and chat her up. She's super rad.
Awesome. Yeah. Maybe she'd like to be on the pod sometime. We are doing this over a meeting situation, so we could probably do outside people, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we can we can get her on. Yeah, if we talk games, we can certainly get her on. So
that's what I'm saying. We do a couple gamer casts there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Get her on. Let's do it.
Very cool.
All right. Well, thanks again. What did you guys think of Bird Box? Let us know in the comments. Otherwise, thanks for listening. And I hear you guys laughing already. I hear you guys laughing already. You're waiting for me to fail.
I'm sorry.
You guys.
Oh, fuck yourself, San Diego. I love San Diego. God damn it, I miss it.
Thanks again for listening, you guys. Keep your glasses full, and we'll talk to you next time.
That was well said, sir. Winner, winner.
Keep
your glasses full. Very well done.
And don't make liabilities that are going to make you die.
Teach your liabilities to shoot and follow directions.
Yes.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right.
Oh.
All right.